with the cousins, Evangelion Zuza and Babimu Loy, right here on Power Weekend Breakfast. All right, there we go. Let's move into our next conversation, all about occupational health and safety in the offices with the second wave of COVID-19. What are the protocols?
Power Weekend Breakfast, health and wellness.
Dr. Rebawane Moshenyane joins us on the line, occupational medical practitioner at Workforce Holding. And we're talking in particular about what happens in and amongst the world of work, right? So you're likely to be at a higher risk of COVID infection on account of your colleagues. When you come back to work, if they've been traveling, going home, holidaying, whatever it is, perhaps they have hit COVID hotspots and are bringing that back into the world of work. So employers, you know, don't plan for this. And if you don't put something into place right now, you may be faced with a higher staff absenteeism or worse infections in the workplace. So let's discuss this and let's tackle this. Doctor, is this really true, right? So coming back in 2021, it could really be a tricky spot for employers to find themselves.
Hi, Pavi. Good morning to you and to all your listeners. That is indeed true, because now with the second wave that we're in, and it's the festive season, people, like you said, will be traveling to the hotspots. People will engage in high-risk behaviors because now it's the festive and people are thinking everything is just relaxed. And they'll be partying and being in closed spaces like bars. Therefore, their risk is going to be much more increased. So it's very important for business owners or companies to be proactive. And we as Workforce Healthcare recommend that all employees, or employers rather, they develop COVID-19 return to work plans come January, and they should be better prepared.
How effective is the symptom screening in making sure that people don't have COVID and come into the building? I mean, I don't know if somebody checking my temperature with, you know, a piece of equipment that no doubt could be from China, because these are expensive.
That's true, Pabi. So it's supposed to be honest. So I mean, the temperature, so the question is, so the buttons and the ideas, it should be understood. I mean, that when you go to and they would say 34.2, and they just say normal, and you're like, no,
that's low.
I'm dead. So the fact that people that are doing it are not healthcare professionals and don't understand the implications of it is quite disturbing. So in the beginning, when people go back to work in January, we recommend that this screening it needs to be effective and should be done by healthcare professionals such as nurses, and that's what we provide in Workforce Healthcare. And those people would understand the implications of that temperature and the positive screening questionnaire.
Doctor, are we going to see perhaps, because I saw an article during the week, forgot where I saw it exactly, but about having online medical practitioners for these companies, that if someone's not feeling well, then there's a doctor or someone in the medical fraternity that they could just Zoom or put on Microsoft Teams and we do a quick checkup. How is medicine going to come to the fold or going to transform, especially in the workplace? Because we only have HR and a medical aid kit, that's all. But is medicine, doctors, medical practitioners, are you guys going to be coming at least closer to the workplace? Because, I mean, even having to go to the hospital, I've got a friend who's a doctor, and how she loves to operate, because she works in the rural areas, she likes to go to the patients, and only when you need heavy equipment or serious equipment, then you'd be called in. But for certain things, she would usually go to you. Is that something we can expect as well, that the medical fraternity would come to the workplace?
Yes, Mvangeli. So, I mean, with us, so we are in the workplace. So we are healthcare professionals in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And I think COVID-19 has taught us a different way of interacting with patients. And at Workforce Healthcare, we've established the 24/7 GP virtual consults. So if at the workplace someone is screened and has positive screening, then we can then ask them to contact the 24-hour helpline for GP virtual consults. And then also, if you are at home, I mean, with the screening, we also advise people or employees to do it at home so that they don't come to the workplace having positive symptoms and coming to infect other people in the workplace. So what we generally do is ask the employees to stay at home if they're experiencing any symptoms, and then to call our workforce healthcare 24/7 virtual consults for the GP. And I mean, the GP will assess the symptoms and the validity of the symptoms. But I mean, it's very difficult because you're doing it remotely and you can't really examine the person. But I mean, from what your assessment, you can then decide whether you're going to send them for testing or whether you're going to give them a script and a sick note. So it has been done and you are doing it, Mvangeli.
Okay. And results, what is the turnaround time when it comes to just getting those results?
Okay, so I mean, with the results, I mean, previously you've been doing PCR testing, and that has been the gold standard of taking or detecting whether someone is acutely infected with COVID-19. And that result will take about 24 to 48 hours. But now what we're starting to see is the antigen testing, which is basically also as specific as the PCR test. And it's also used to diagnose current COVID-19 infection. And that one is a point of care test, which is quick and simple, that we'll also be implementing in our clinics, and you get the results within 15 to 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
To allow for a quick management of employees, and you know, they'll be isolated quicker before they even spread the virus in the workplace. So I think the antigen testing, great way to go.
Absolutely. I was going to ask, you know, whose responsibility is it to send employees for testing? And second to that, whose cost is it?
That's a very tricky one, Fabi, because if it is something that is acquired in the workplace, it should be done by the company. But I mean, not all companies are covering that, and some of the employees are going to the private, I mean, public sector. Sorry, and we know in the public sector the results do take much longer. But then at the same time, if they're taking so long, then the company is also losing out, because the results at some point in June were taking about 7 days, 10 days, and even post the isolation, we don't even know whether that person has had a positive or a negative test.
Right.
So if it is done by the company and the company pays for it and it goes private, it should be the company. And I mean, like I said, with the antigen testing, it's much more affordable, and we recommend that it should be done by the company for the employee, so that you get better results and know how to manage the case better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What about dealing with vulnerable employees? What have you found from an HR point of view is the new normal dealing with people who perhaps want to work from home, even though that may not be company policy?
Yes. So, I mean, dealing with the vulnerable employees has been very challenging because you need to protect them because they're at high risk of severe disease. So it's been quite a tricky one because the TERS fund was not enough. And sometimes if it's not in the company policies, the company would also be quite reluctant to let people work at home if they're able to. But I mean, with the recommendation and the regulations now with the COVID-19, the employer has to make some sort of compromise. And if people can work from home, then it's better that way, because they're also reducing the amount of people that come to work and reduce that would be spreading the virus. So, Pabi, with the vulnerable employees as well, you can remember that in about September, October, November time, there was a reduction in the rate of COVID-19. So we had to, because the risk was much lower then, we had to integrate the employees back into the workplace. So we're bringing them slowly into the workplace because the risk was much less, because the infection rate was much lower.
Yeah, yeah.
So now come January, I think that will need to be all reviewed, because we're anticipating a higher risk for the vulnerable employees, and those are the group that you need to be really protecting to prevent a severe disease in them.
Dr. Moshinyana, second wave, of course, now. Let's say I did contract or get COVID-19 during the first wave or the first batch, whatever we want to call it, the first time. what do we know now about the virus? Am I going to get it? Have I become immune to it? When I get it the second time, does it become worse? Does it become like the first time? What do we know with the second wave? Because what do we know?
Okay. So, I mean, like you said, this is a very new, it's a new virus.
Yeah.
And the data is not so, I mean, it's we're learning every single day. So, I mean, from what we know is that people that have had the virus, they do have antibodies, but it doesn't mean that they're immune to getting the virus again. Mm-hmm. But then the antibodies are protective in making sure that if you do get it the next time, you do not get a severe disease, or you probably will remain asymptomatic and you won't even know that you're actually having it the second time. Mm-hmm. So that's what we know. And, I mean, things keep changing. It says that the antibodies, they go down and maybe they disappear from about 6 months or so. But some studies are showing that the antibodies are actually there for about 8 months. But, I mean, I think the data we'll get to know more when we have more data. But, I mean, that's what we know for now.
Yeah. And back to the workplace, when it comes to psychological effects of the virus, what should we look out for? How should employees look out for themselves? Can even employers take responsibility just for the psychological issues that the pandemic has brought?
Yes. So, I mean, I think the pandemic has exacerbated some psychological or mental health in employees. And I think some of the employees will be spending the festive season now without their loved ones, who have probably died due to the COVID-19. There's also issues of grief, stress, and anxiety as well. So the employer, what we offer at Workforce Healthcare is a COVID-19 support, which is a 24/7, and it's manned by counselors and psychologists. So if you can provide your workforce with the psychological support, it's very important because that obviously, if it is something that is acquired in the workplace, it should be done by the company. But I mean, not all companies are covering that, and some of the employees are going to the public sector. And we know in the public sector the results do take much longer. And then at the same time, if they're taking so long, then the company is also losing out because the results at some point in June were taking about 7 days, 10 days, and even post the isolation, we don't even know whether that person has had a positive or a negative test.
Right.
So if it is done by the company and the company pays for it and it goes private, it should be the company. And I mean, like I said, with antigen testing, it's much more affordable, and we recommend that it should be done by the company for the employee so that you get better results and know how to manage the case better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What about dealing with vulnerable employees? What have you found from an HR point of view is the new normal dealing with people who perhaps want to work from home, even though that may not be company policy?
Yes. So, I mean, dealing with the vulnerable employees has been very challenging because you need to protect them because they're at high risk of severe disease. So it's been quite a tricky one because the TERS fund was not enough. And sometimes if it's not in the company policies, the company would also be quite reluctant to let people work at